Okay. So this episode is about courage. We've heard from a war correspondent, and we just heard from Kimberly Motley, who represents women in Afghanistan. And now it's your turn.
Later on. I don't think that this is the right show for me. I mean, I love your show. I'm very honored and thrilled to be here, Guy. I just don't think that this is the right episode.
should we like find a different one for you to be in? Maybe we should go back. So this is Lena Nguyen, and she definitely belongs in this episode. Lena's an emergency physician by training and a pretty polarizing figure in medicine, which we'll explain why in a moment. So you don't think you're courageous?
I think I'm determined. I think that I am not afraid to speak up when it's about defending my patients and defending my community and defending people who I really care about.
And what makes her so unpopular in the medical establishment is that Lena thinks you have a right to know more about your doctor, where their money comes from. And the story of how she came to that view began with her mother. Here's Lena Nguyen on the TED stage.
When I was 8, my parents and I moved to the U.S., and ours became the typical immigrant narrative. My parents cleaned hotel rooms and washed dishes and pumped gas so that I could pursue my dream. Well, eventually, I learned enough English, and my parents were so happy the day that I got into medical school and took my oath of healing and service. But then one day, everything changed. My mother called me to tell me that she wasn't feeling well, that she had this cough that wouldn't go away, that she was short of breath and tired. Well, I knew that my mother was someone who never complained about anything. For her to tell me that something was the matter, I knew something had to be really wrong. And it was. We found out that she had stage 4 breast cancer, cancer that by then had spread to her lungs, her bones, and her brain. My mother was brave, though, and she had hope. She went through surgery and radiation and was on her 3rd round of chemotherapy when she lost her address book. She tried to look up her oncologist's phone number on the internet, and she found it, but she found something else too. On several websites, he was listed as a highly paid speaker to a drug company, and in fact, often spoke on behalf of the same chemo regimen that he had prescribed her. She called me in a panic, and I didn't know what to believe. Maybe this was the right chemo regimen for her, but maybe it wasn't.
So what did you do? I mean, did you feel like he was compromised?
It's hard to know. We never asked him about it, probably because there was just too much fear. I mean, how do you ask your doctor whether he or she is getting influenced by the money that he or she is getting, right? That's a very difficult question to ask. So we never found out. But I'll tell you that seed of fear blossomed, and my mother no longer trusted his recommendations. Even when he prescribed antibiotics for pneumonia, she would wonder, is it because it's the right medication for me, or is he getting paid by the drug company? And that made me look into the literature, too. And at the time, in 2008, a New England Journal of Medicine paper found that 94% of doctors have some affiliation with drug companies or medical device companies.
Wow.
And there were dozens of studies to show that those affiliations do, in fact, influence prescription behavior. And that really shocked me and made me want to do something about it.
And at that point, the thing she wanted to do was to find out whether this kind of stuff bothered other people, too. So she gathered a team of researchers, and they started to survey patients about their health care.
One after another, our respondents told us that doctor-patient relationship is a deeply intimate one, that to show their doctors their bodies and tell them their deepest secrets, they want to first understand their doctor's values. People want to know about their doctors first so that they can make the informed choice. As a result of this, I formed a campaign, Who's My Doctor?, that calls for total transparency in medicine. Participating doctors voluntarily disclose on a public website not just information about where we went to medical school and what specialty we're in, but also our conflicts of interest. We go beyond the government Sunshine Act about drug company affiliations, and we talk about how we're paid. Then we go one step further. We add our values when it comes to women's health, LGBT health, alternative medicine, preventive health, and end-of-life decisions. We pledge to our patients that we are here to serve you, so you have a right to know who we are. We believe that transparency can be the cure for fear. Well, I thought some doctors would sign on and others wouldn't, but I had no idea of the huge backlash that would ensue.
I mean, the feedback, the response was pretty overwhelming. Like, you were public enemy number one, like, overnight.
I didn't expect for so many people even to read about it. I wrote about it for an online blog for doctors, just describing what we're doing, encouraging people to write to me if they're interested. And I got so many negative responses. We're talking thousands of negative responses of people saying, how dare you attack me personally? Don't you understand how difficult life is? And I should not be a doctor. I'm betraying my profession. I should, in fact, have a medical license be taken away from me. They even went as far as calling my boss and asking for me to be fired.
Why do you think doctors reacted the way they did?
This in particular is the hardest thing for them because it touches the very core of who we are as doctors. We pride ourselves in not letting anything influence our behavior. And yet we've seen the studies, everyone is seeing the studies, that actually these financial incentives do impact you. So people know this. And when I bring it out into the open, people feel threatened because it's the core of their identity and also often their incomes. And the more people started talking about it, the more angry many doctors became. I remember people started posting on these doctors' forums, and many of these doctors' forums, you have to register in your own name with your national provider ID. And there was one particular incident that was particularly shocking. My Twitter account had gone down. And then I looked on this doctor's forum, and someone took credit there for, quote-unquote, Twitter bombing my account. And then various people wrote in and said, too bad it wasn't a real bomb. Does anyone know where she lives? Does anyone know where she works?
Were you scared?
I was. I remember calling my husband and talking to my friends and saying, maybe I should just quit this. I mean, this is not worth my life, and I didn't want my husband or my loved ones to be injured. But then I started hearing from patient advocacy groups, but also just regular people who were overwhelmingly in favor of this. They said this is common sense. Of course, we want to know about any conflicts that our doctors may have. We want them to disclose this to us. There's also this sense from patients that it's not okay that our doctors get to decide what information we should know about. The information should be out there, and we should decide whether it's important for us.
I mean, you call yourself determined. Some people would say courageous. What's the source of it? Where does it come from?
It's probably my mother, who was the reason why I got through difficult childhood and upbringing. And every time I think back to what it was like when she was ill and what she went through and that initial moment when she found out about her oncologist, and this is what I want to prevent in the future. I don't want other patients to go through this realization and doubt and fear. And that, I think, is the source of my inspiration.
My mother fought her cancer for 8 years. She was a planner, and she thought a lot about how she wanted to live and how she wanted to die. Not only did she sign advanced directives, she wrote a 12-page document about how she had suffered enough, how it was time for her to go. One day, when I was a resident physician, I got a call to say that she was in the intensive care unit. By the time I got there, she was about to be intubated and put on a breathing machine. But this is not what she wants, I said, and we have documents. The ICU doctor looked at me in the eye, pointed at my then 16-year-old sister and said, do you remember when you were that age? How would you have liked to grow up without your mother? Her oncologist was there too and said, this is your mother. Can you really face yourself for the rest of your life if you don't do everything for her? I knew my mother so well. I understood what her directives meant so well. And I was a physician. That was the single hardest decision I ever made, to let her die in peace. And I carry those words of those doctors with me every single day.
Did you have doubts at the time?
I still have doubts now. And I wonder, I think I will always wonder, what would have happened if we did try something else? Would it have made my mother live? a couple days longer, a couple weeks longer. Could she have lived a couple months longer even? But I still go back to what she says, which is that she had suffered enough.
I mean, it seems like she lived a life of courage.
You know, my mother suffered a lot, but never talked about her suffering. She was an academic. She had a significant role in student activism in China. She came to the U.S. by herself so that she could provide for a better life for us and to get my family away from persecution in China. Eventually, we ended up staying on political asylum. And she lived her entire life fighting and struggling against whatever forces may be. She ended up being a teacher. She worked in some of the toughest school districts in Los Angeles, not because she had to, but it was something that she believed she really needed to. And that's, to me, is courage, of saying, I know what needs to be done. I'm going to serve my community, and I'm going to fight against any forces that come my way because these are the right things to do.
Lena Wen, she's an emergency physician and founder of whosmydoctor.com. And she's now the new health commissioner in Baltimore. You can see her full talk at ted.npr.org. Thanks for listening to our show on Courage this week. Our production staff at NPR includes Jeff Rogers, Brent Bachman, Megan Kane, Sanaz Meshkinpour, and Bridget McCarthy. Our intern is Amanda Hunnigfort, with help from Daniel Shukin, Portia Robertson-Migas, and Eric Newsom. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, June Cohen, Darren Triff, and Janet Lee. I'm Guy Raz, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.